This is John MacArthur, and I'm thrilled to announce the upcoming release of The Essential Church Movie. This feature-length film by Grace Community Church explores the battle between the church and the government throughout history. Every pastor and churchgoer needs to see this movie. It is an unforgettable, dramatic reminder of the church's responsibility to stand courageously and faithfully for Christ against all enemies. Our earnest prayer is that the projected project will inspire and strengthen believers, reaffirming the truth that Christ alone is the head of the church, regardless of external pressures. The Essential Church Movie will premiere on July 28th in theaters around the United States. To find out more information and locate a theater near you, go to EssentialChurchMovie.com. That's EssentialChurchMovie.com.
You are listening to Matter of Theology, a podcast production that deals with church and cultural issues from a biblical standpoint. We stand firm on the sufficiency of Scripture, hitting every topic with an open Bible and the boldness to say things that others are afraid to. And now, here's the host of Matter of Theology, Chris Huff.
Welcome to another edition of Matter of Theology, the place where theology matters because everything is, all of life is a matter of theology. Matter of Theology is a podcast production that stands for the sufficiency of Scripture and seeks to show how Scripture infallibly, inerrantly, sufficiently, and authoritatively applies to everything we think, say, and do. My name is Chris. I am your host. So on behalf of the Christian podcast community and, of course, the Bar Network, that is the Biblical and Reformed Podcast Network, thank you for choosing to tune into this episode. And you guys may have heard before this episode started a familiar voice. It should be a familiar voice if you're a listener to this podcast, of Dr. John MacArthur talking about the Essential Church Movie. And today I have the very distinct honor and privilege of talking to Mr. Shannon Halliday. He is the writer and director of The Essential Church, and he has graciously agreed to give us some time to talk about this film. I have seen the film. It is phenomenal. We're going to get into that. And so, Shannon, just want to welcome you to Matter of Theology, brother. Thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Man, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, man? I know you've been a member there at Grace Community Church for a while, and just give us a little background as far as you, man, what the Lord has done in your life, and take it from there.
Yeah, okay, I'll try to keep it somewhat short, but basically, I moved up from San Diego to Los Angeles pursuing acting. Always considered myself a Christian, but I really wasn't. I grew up in a Lutheran church, Missouri Synod, so it still held to a true gospel, and I could sort of speak the gospel, but I didn't really understand what it meant to follow Christ. And became friends with a fellow actor up in LA who was the real thing, and he invited me to Grace Church and to Bible studies. And
wow.
And then I was like, oh, you know what? I don't think I was a Christian growing up. I thought I was, but I'm not, or I wasn't. And but I am now, and I don't know when it soaked in that year, and that was like towards the middle to late 90s. And then I just got plugged in, and that the church that he invited me to was Grace Community Church. I didn't know anything about it, didn't know who John MacArthur was, didn't care. Right. Yeah, so I was completely clueless as far as like his impact and his ministry and things like that. But then I got plugged in, and it just became like, well, I'm just going to do that. And then my desires changed with acting. And I went back to school, and I was like, you know, I've always been a storyteller, and I want to make films. I was always doing that anyways. Now, when I look back at my life, I'm like, oh man, I was always a filmmaker, and acting was, I would do it again. I really enjoyed it. And, so if the right part were to present itself, I probably would do it again someday, but
yeah.
You know, my desires change, and I just like, you know, I want to tell stories. I have stories to tell, and I want to tell stories. So I went back and I just pursued that. And, went to school, went to Art Center College of Design in Pasadena, and then really just kind of just tried to find my way as a Christian in this industry. And it's a struggle. It really is a struggle. So I've written screenplays and such, and then some have been optioned and but didn't get made. And then you know, I was working as a creative director for this huge marketing firm that had thousands and thousands of clients, and was the head writer there, and then eventually doing some creative directing. And I always wanted to write and direct, always. So that was always my focus. That's always what I was focused on. I was always honing that craft in some way. Wow. And so, and then during COVID, or maybe I'm not supposed to say COVID, we're going to be shadow banned. During the lockdowns, I've already blown it. So we're already going to be shadow banned. So
wow, I'll just have send to it, man. Go for it.
So during COVID, I was going there. I was helping out with Adventure Club, which is a new children's curriculum. They needed a story. So I was just kind of overseeing the story and helping with that. And then more opportunities for narrative stuff started arising during that time, because we really started leaning into our media department. And I was asked to come on full time. And I said no at first. I didn't think it would be a good career move. And then after about a month, I was like, you know, the possibilities of what we could do there are probably greater than what I can do here, even creatively. And I would be probably more satisfied with the subject matter.
Right.
So my heart changed, and I was like, okay. And they asked me again a month later, and I was like, okay, I'll do it.
Wow.
And then I came on, and then, like, you know, trying to think about our first projects, and Jacob Hoffman, who's the department head of Grace Productions, he's a businessman, didn't really have a background in film or anything like that, but you know, he's a go-getter, and he was like, we should try to do a documentary, and maybe we should do it on this whole lockdown thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, that's a no-brainer. Of course we should do that. So I put together a pitch and how I would film it, what I would do, what the story would be. And I put it together, and then we got a time with John MacArthur and a few, Mark Z, and it was me and Jacob, and we just sat there, and I presented my thoughts on how I would do this. I had a little write-ups, you know, synopsis, treatment, and they were really interested. And John MacArthur is really interested. He understands the historical aspect of what happened.
Yes.
Yeah. And he gets it. You know, I think he has more context than any of us, because, you know, he obviously was alive in the 1950s. So he goes from the 1950s to now, where they're putting the rainbow flag on the White House. And he's like, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but we're losing.
Right. Right. So, well, and look at the flack he caught for saying stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, he was right. And I mean, we'll talk about COVID and the plandemic, as I've been calling it. So I've been shadow banned for a while, brother. You're good.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. And I mean, to tell that story, and I followed it very closely. My wife and her family, I mean, she spent the first 12 years of her life at Grace. So Grace Community Church, Southern California, Sun Valley, Valencia area, it's near and dear to our hearts. And so we were following things very, very closely. So now when you presented that, I know John was all about it. I mean, did you get any pushback from anybody there at Grace or just in general? And if you did, what was that like?
Yeah. So, I didn't get any pushback, really. They just took a long time to decide that they were going to do it.
Right.
So maybe they had to check with some other folks. I don't know. I think 4 months went by before I actually was like greenlit, and I was like, okay, I can start now. I would have liked those 4 months back, though, to be honest with you. I needed those 4 months. No, I don't know. I don't think so. There wasn't any pushback. The elders are, you know, pretty united now in their stance. And so that was all kind of worked through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there might be folks, you know, we're a big church. There might be folks that were like, look, you know, when Strange Fire was happening, I was like, really, we're going to do a conference on this? I'm like, you got a couple books on this. I don't know if we need to do this again.
Right.
And then after it was done, I was like, oh yeah, no, that was a good idea. I don't know what I'm talking about. We should have done that. And I'm glad we did it. And so, yeah. I mean, there could have been some thoughts with this film as far as I don't know, but
sure. I'm sure there was.
Yeah, man.
And that's, I think you said something a few minutes ago that I kind of want to touch on as we get into talking about the film. And I think one of the things that I appreciated, well, let me back up a little farther. You said, sure. Man, your heart and something that you've always loved to do is to tell stories and to capture stories on film. And brother, as somebody who's seen this film, you did just that and did it wonderfully. I'm not saying that to puff you up or anything like that, but to encourage you, for the next story you're going to tell. Because the way that you did this, brother, I mean, this film clocked in just over 2 hours, but it does not feel like it. The way that you captured this story, and then now moving into what something that John said, he's been, you know, at the church and pastoring for over 5 decades and is in his mid-80s now and has seen a lot of life on this side of eternity and a lot of history. And one of the things that I love that you did is you told the story of church history and how what we saw that took place in 2020 during COVID. And how Grace and a lot of the church in general was targeted. You mirrored that back to church history and a period of church history. As someone who studied a little bit of church history, not a lot, I was unfamiliar with the story of the stool being thrown. The Covenanters I was familiar with, but not as in depth as you guys went into. So talk about that. What was that process like as far as reliving what took place in the 1600s and how that mirrored what we saw take place there in 2020?
Yeah. When I got the idea for church history, it was really from our statement that we came out with, Christ not Caesar. And in that, it references the Covenanters and the Great Ejection. And so I was like, what is that? I need to know what that is. And I started reading about it, and it was clear to me, like, oh, there is something really effective here, because it parallels with our story in ways that I don't think people have considered.
Yeah.
On top of that, just as a filmmaker, I'm like excited about these stories. I'm like, that's what I want to tell. I want to go in there and shoot these scenes and write these scenes and how I would do it, where I'd put the camera and what.
So
I mean, I got so excited about that. So I really pushed for that just as an artist. I was like, that's I really want that in the film. And I just thought a much more powerful narrative of saying, look, this is an ancient conflict. And this isn't the first time these things have been said.
Right.
And maybe we've forgotten about this, you know, that they've really fleshed out these concepts thoroughly, you know, over the last 2000 years. And I think many Christians don't really understand that this is a conflict that basically is the main conflict throughout church history.
That's right. Yes.
We disregard it. And honestly, this isn't in the documentary, as you know, because you've seen it, but I thought to myself, this church history aspect, not only it shows me, oh, that's how America was formed. Like, ooh, it was because of the Covenanters. It was because of the Covenanters taking the stand and over 100 years dealing with this in Scotland and England. And so when America pops up and the opportunity arises, they fleshed out these concepts. They have these spheres of authority down. And the separation between church and state is not an atheist concept. It's a Christian concept.
That's it. Yes, sir.
We don't even have that concept without the Bible. And it's ironic when an atheist goes to a courthouse and says, I want the statue of the Ten Commandments down or the Bible, you know, which really is just it's historical. It's showing how we got our concepts of how we built our country. It's, you know, you don't have separation of church and state without that Bible. And that's the thing you're trying to take down.
Ooh,
so I don't think anybody realizes that. It dawned on me studying this. I'm like, oh, I see the thread. I see where it leads to. It's not just, oh, America's built on a Judeo-Christian worldview. It was fleshed out and people died over this. And they had to biblically make an argument and say to the church, how can we as a church stand against the state and defy them in this? Can we biblically do that? And yes, we can. When it comes to certain things like this, we absolutely can.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and you flesh that out perfectly, wonderfully in the film. There were a couple of stories that of these two women, a mother and a daughter, who you, when you see this, have some tissues ready. But then also it makes you ask some questions, right? It makes you ask some questions, and putting myself in that position, in that scenario, what decision would I make? What would I say? What would I do? So speaking of, you know, okay, so is it okay for the church and for the believer to defy the government? One of the things that I love that you captured in the film, Dr. Mike Riccardi, talked about, you know, Romans 13, right? And a lot of people, a lot of friends of mine during that time, would say, well, it looks like they flipped on Romans 13. Well, no, they didn't flip. But one of the things that I love that you put in there, man, I love that you guys captured this. And I love that Mike was like, yeah, hey, I'll be honest. Like I needed to think about this and through a different lens and a different framework. And by reading Martin Lloyd-Jones and his commentary on Romans 13, it helped me do that. So I loved that. And I also loved, man, that you guys put in there the tension that took place between the elder board, there at Grace during that time, and how these were huge decisions to be made. And there were consequences on both sides of the fence, both sides of the ball. And it wasn't just a, you know, kumbaya moment. I mean, it ended up, you know, we stack hands at the end and we are brothers and we're going to make decision. We're going to be unanimous, but there were things to work through. And I love that you captured that. One of the things I wanted to hit on, and I know we're getting a little short on time. But a lot of people, a lot of friends of mine, I would tweet or post things in support of Grace and John and, the need for how the church and how essential the church is during that time. And I had multiple friends of mine who profess to be, you know, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who would say, well, I mean, as long as they social distance and as long as the, you know, the science says to do X, Y, and Z. So if you could, man, just talk about, you guys addressed this in the film and you knocked it out of the park with this. So just talk a little bit about that portion and the science of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. So we couldn't leave the science out completely. Right, it's a theological argument, but you know, people are going to come back and say, yeah, that's nice. But the truth is the truth in the science.
Right.
And we saw and most of it's been debunked by now. I don't have to even put in a lot of the stuff in the documentary. It would be redundant because most people already know if they're honest with themselves at all, you know, it was a bunch of lies.
Yeah.
So the way we obviously needed some legit people to talk on this subject, and we were able to get Scott Atlas, Jay Bhattacharya, and Sean Kaufman. All of them are excellent. Scott Atlas probably has the most richest of stories that I couldn't even put in the documentary. And that's an interesting thing for your viewers is that we're going to put some of that raw interview of Scott Atlas on the Blu-ray and DVD. So you'll get those as bonus features, a lot of stuff that just didn't make sense to put in the documentary.
Sure.
But it's still just valuable information and just really interesting. So he was on the task force with Fauci and Birx for 2 months before he resigned. And he was going head to head with them. He has all very interesting stories about that. But he spoke to the science of the fact that there was this 3.4% death rate is what they were saying at the beginning. And the reality is the media never corrected that.
Right.
They knew it was wrong. And then they just like, well, let's just not talk about it again rather than correct ourselves. And that was the narrative. And that was like, that's what set everything off. 3.4% is huge.
Yep.
And then Scott Atlas was like, there's no way it's 3.4%. Why are you saying that? Like, look at the data, and the data shows, and they had data that told them that. They just ignored it.
Mm.
So there's that aspect of it. And then we go into the science of the lockdowns. Was that really loving to lock down everything?
Oh,
and we look into the results of the lockdown and what it did. And then when you just put it together, gathering together, it's like, that's not what's going to kill grandma. I mean, Jay Bhattacharya says in the documentary, there's a strategy going forward. And the way you do that is actually you don't isolate a bunch of people. You let most of the people come together and congregate and do things.
Yep.
You protect certain individuals.
Correct.
And that's up to that individual still.
Right.
It's up to grandma if she wants to chance it or not. You know,
exactly.
Yeah. But that would be the suggestion. That would be the advice. That would be the counsel. You wouldn't shut down the whole world. Scientifically, there's no reason to do that. Did not have the effect that they said it was. And he has what is called the Great Barrington Declaration. And tons of, you know, experienced epidemiologists and medical doctors from all over the world have signed that thing, agreeing with the science that
right.
lockdowns don't work. There's that objective aspect of it that we do address. And, you know, Scott Atlas has a really moment there where it, as you saw, where he gets emotional, where he talks about,
oh my goodness,
the suicides and stuff like that. I mean, I don't want to give too much away, but I mean, it was just heart wrenching. And it really bothers him. It's he's going to actually be at our premiere this Sunday. He's coming.
Oh,
to
that's Grace great. Church. Okay.
He's not a Christian. But he wants to come and watch the movie with us and our congregation Sunday night, this coming Sunday. So I'm looking forward to spending the day with him and talking more with him. And it was great. So, yeah, that's the science part.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. So, as we wrap up this episode of MOT, one of the things I want to highlight is the way the film ends, and the film ends with a bold and clear, crystal clear declaration and proclamation of the gospel of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So obviously, it wouldn't be complete without that. And it's a very Christocentric film. Brothers and sisters, if you're listening to this, it is going to be in theaters nationwide, July 28th. Head on over to essentialchurchmovie.com. That's essentialchurchmovie.com. I'll put a link in the show notes, and check it out. It's in a lot of theaters. It's not in every theater yet. So Shannon, what would you say if somebody's listening to this and they're like, oh man, I looked on the website and there's nobody showing it near me. What can they do at that point?
Yeah. Over the next 7 days, we're going to be adding more theaters. Our goal is to add, right now we have about 150, which we just added another 70. Yeah. We added another like 70 yesterday morning. AMC has us now. So before it was just Cinemark and Regal, but now AMC is picking up. So those are three, I mean, those might be the biggest three major theaters in America. Yeah. So that's amazing that we're even going to be in those. So we're going to be adding theaters over the next week. So keep checking.
Okay.
It might not be there today, but in 5 days, it actually might be in your city. So keep checking. And if it's not in your city, maybe there is a city close by. Maybe it's not that much of a trek and you can take a small group out there and go see the movie there. But I will tell you that seeing it in the theater, because I've seen it more than anybody on this planet in all That's sorts true. Of different mediums. And seeing it in a theater with like 5.1 surround sound on a new digital projector that I saw, I was like, okay, this is the way you should watch it. Not on TV, not on your phone.
Okay.
You go to the theater. You won't regret it. It's a good it looks great, and I'm so pleased with how it came out, and so I'm excited.
Well, you guys are
ready to watch it.
You guys are pros. You did a phenomenal job. The Essential Church movie, full feature length documentary, in theaters July 28th. Go check it out. Shannon, thank you for your time today, brother. We're praying for you. We're praying for your team, and anything we can do to help push and promote, we will.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's my pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you, brother.
John MacArthur here to tell you that the Essential Church movie will premiere in theaters on July 28th. Nothing like this has been done before. Every pastor and churchgoer needs to see this movie. It's an unforgettable, dramatic reminder of the church's responsibility to stand courageously and faithfully for Christ against all enemies. To find a theater near you, go to essentialchurchmovie.com. That's essentialchurchmovie.com.